for more than just one group of people. Okay, there's some terms that you may be able to apply consistently, exactly the same meaning all the way through, but the elect or the election is not one of those terms. And I think that's where a lot of people fail in their theology and in their, you know, in their doctrines that they come up with, is just always assuming that when the Bible talks about the elect or the election, it's always just talking about the Jews. Now, many times it is talking about the Jews as a group, as the physical nation of Israel, but that's not always the case. So you really need to just take this word especially and understand the whole context of what we're looking at before you get a full understanding of who it is, and don't make any assumptions on who the Bible's talking about, because literally the word elect is just chosen. Okay, now we started off in Isaiah 42, and we're going to look at verse number 1, and we're going to compare this with Matthew chapter 12. Because in Isaiah 42, this is a prophecy talking about Jesus Christ himself. Isaiah 42 verse 1 says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." This is talking about Jesus Christ, and I can prove this by, if you turn to Matthew chapter 12, we'll compare this side by side. So mine elect literally is talking about a singular person. It's talking about Jesus Christ himself. And this is, by the way, the first usage of the word elect in the Bible. And this is also another good point to bring up, because I know people always go, you know, use their law of first mention, and the first time it's used, you know, it's kind of the definition all the way through. Not with this word. I mean, depending on how you define it, right? If you just mean by chosen, great. That applies perfectly, consistently all the way through, chosen. But who is the chosen and who does it apply to is determined by context, right? So if the definition, your definition of elect just means chosen, great, that's a good definition. Use that all the way through. It's consistent. But who are the chosen, who is applied to, that changes on the context. So Matthew 12, verse 15, the Bible says, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying," and then it's going to quote Isaiah 42. So we just see in Matthew 12, he's doing all this stuff, he's healing people, and he makes sure that they don't say anything, because now he's going to fulfill this scripture, which is about himself. Verse 18 says, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." And one of the things you could also notice here is that in Isaiah 42, it says mine elect. And in Matthew 12, it says whom I have chosen. So it's using the synonyms of elect and chosen interchangeably there, showing us that that's literally what that means. And, you know, if you just know the English language, that shouldn't be a big deal anyways. Very easy to see that. But there we have the Bible also just kind of defining that within the Hebrew going in English versus the Greek going in English there, and the quotation from the Old Testament in the New Testament using synonyms, which, by the way, on a different point, I think also exhibits how God preserves his word and to the detail. And yes, we believe in every word of God, and I'm not up for changing words of God, but you have the same meaning coming across here, exactly the same, and it's still the perfect word of God that has been translated when they're quoting Old Testament scriptures using synonyms for the words that were given. And that was a very good, perfect translation. But anyway, I don't want to go down that rabbit trail and start getting into that, because that's not what the sermon's about. But I want to point out, you know, when we look at this, so the first mention of elect is literally referring to Jesus Christ. There's sometimes in Scripture, you turn to John chapter 6, where the Bible uses chosen or elect, and it doesn't even always mean that the people are saved. John chapter 6, verse 70, the Bible reads, "Jesus answered them," he's talking to his disciples, "Have not I chosen you 12, And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So the disciples, the 12 disciples, were elect. They were chosen by Jesus Christ himself to be his disciples. And he's saying, look, I've chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. One of them wasn't even saved, yet he was elect. Yet he was chosen by Jesus Christ. And he was chosen for a purpose, right? The disciples were chosen for a purpose. The fact that they were chosen didn't just automatically mean they were all saved, but they were chosen for a purpose. And when it comes to the Jews, you know, that is commonly called or known as God's chosen people, which I'm not even completely against that terminology either, because in many contexts, that is correct and true, and we're going to look at that. The problem I have, and the reason why, one of the main reasons I'm even preaching a sermon, is because people take that too far, and it becomes like a Jew worship, or this thought or doctrine or understanding that the Jews are some special people today that get some special pass and special privileges by God because they're the chosen people, and that's simply not true. And that simply has never been true, by the way. They've never just received like just all kinds of extra benefits by being physical heirs or descendants of Abraham. Now, God has given them a land and led them into promised land, but we're even going to see, turn if you would to Deuteronomy chapter number 9. I'm going to read for you from 2 Timothy chapter 2 while you're turning to Deuteronomy 9. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 10 says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes. And this is talking about this Apostle Paul. He's in his, just in the previous verses talking about his tribulations and things he's gone through. He says, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So in that context, when he's talking about the elect's sake, he's talking about physical Jews. That's who he's talking about there. And like I said, many times you will see that, but it's not 100% of the time. You can't always assume that that's who he's talking about. Here it is, yet in this context, when he says, for the elect's sakes, he wants them to be saved. So they're elect, but they're not even saved.